What I'm going to talk to you today is not necessarily new research methods, but new methods that we're using to train future researchers in the world of prevention and community health. And with this framework that has been developed called People in Places. And I, of course, am not an island. I have many people that I work with who are in the audience. If you wouldn't mind being recognized, just hold up your hand. We have Caroline Sparks and Ayman Almohandes, along with Seiji Hayashi, Lorian Abrams, Amita Vyas, and Maybach, who also helped with this. And we represent the primary core faculty in the Department of Prevention and Community Health at the George Washington University, your capital connection to a healthier world. A little marketing in there. To effectively promote and maintain the health, safety, and development of individuals and communities, it's really important that public health practitioners in prevention and community health accomplish two fundamental tasks. The first being to identify important and significant determinants of health in the communities in which they find themselves. And the second is to then mobilize diverse resources to mitigate important negative determinants, but to also cultivate positive determinants of health. And what we've done here is to use an integrating framework and approach to train the full range of master's level students that we have in our program in prevention and community health in the skills necessary to accomplish these tasks. And I've been talking with other programs and other schools who are also facing similar issues that we are in having multiple programs in a singular department. And how do you bring them all together? Well, who we are, this is what we look like in our organization. So right now we have four academic programs that we have within one department. What's really interesting is that until a couple years ago, we actually had three programs: community-oriented primary care, health promotion, and maternal and child health. But we came to realize that many of you already knew in this room is that communications is rapidly becoming to be recognized as a core competency in our field of public health. The IOM says so, and ASPH says that it is a cross-cutting competency. It is very important to the training of our public health professionals. So what we did was we began a public health communications and marketing master's in public health program. We found ourselves at a very interesting time. We could build a program that stood alone, or we can use this as a critical time to integrate the department into a cohesive whole, and we chose the latter. So we saw this as a turning point by which we could actually integrate our four programs. And what happened was, during this, a framework was developed called People in Places that was used to illustrate how communications and marketing fit into the world of public health. But what we found is that this framework could actually be used in training our students and integrating the department as a whole in developing our future prevention and community health persons. So we used it not only in our research, but also in our teaching and our practice. And it was a simple framework for public health action. And that is what our students are interested in. They are interested in what are they going to do? How are they going to take these frameworks that we teach them and bring them out into the communities in which they work? So it takes the ecological framework. I bet you're wondering what this framework looks like, huh? Here it is. It takes the ecological framework, which students and stakeholders were telling us was interesting, but it was hard to operationalize, and creates a streamlined model of public health action. We know that the health of a population is influenced by the attributes of people, the attributes of the environment or the place, and the interactions between the two. And so what this model helps us to do in our teaching and our practice is to simplify the ecological framework into identifiable constructs that the students and the professors and the stakeholders can really get behind. And I'll briefly go through what this is. On the left-hand side, you see the people aspect. And it's divided by three types of areas of influence that we in public health typically think of in terms of individuals, social networks, and then population or community, going from the smallest to the largest in terms of level of aggregation. Now, in terms of individuals, this is where we have the most information about how to influence people. people, is at the individual level. We have many theories, many constructs in terms of cognition. We just heard about behavioral intention, skills, motivations, and demographics. And then we move to social networks, which includes not only the size and the connectedness of the personal network, so the structure and the function, but also social support in terms of who and what types, whether it be your family, your peers, your mentors, whether it be emotional, instrumental, appraisal, use of opinion leaders, which is something that has been very much looked at, and also change agents. If anybody's read The Tipping Point, they know that social networks do work in terms of changing the health behavior. Then we move on to population or community, and this is an aspect that we in public health know is really important to determining the health of the populace. But it's one that we're really gaining momentum in terms of how do you measure it, how do you operationalize it. And this is one that holds a lot of future promise. We're gaining in our understanding in terms of social norms, in terms of culture, cohesion, collective efficacy, what is social capital, and the role of income disparities. So those are the people aspect of the model. Now, on the places model aspect, we see that it's influenced by four factors. And Cohen, Farley, and Scribner elucidated these in 2000 to include the availability of products and services, the physical structures in our environment, the social structures, such as laws and policies and their enforcement, and then cultural and media messages. The place has the same four influencing factors. How place differs in terms of the area of influence is by the locality. We tend to look at place by, is it local? Is it something in the home, in the school, something that's in our immediate vicinity as compared to something more distal, say the state, the nation, the region, and the world. And then, so we go from nearby to farther away. And so what we know is that we can take all of these five areas of influence and together in their interaction influence health behavior of the people in the population, which then influences the health and well-being of the population. But that's not to say there, as you can see, I don't know if you can see it here, but there are arrows on the outside that also say that these things, in terms of the people and places, can directly affect health and well-being, not necessarily through behavior. But what this model enabled us to do in terms of training the next generation of prevention and community health professionals is to use this as a simplified framework to integrate the four programs that we have. And this framework was actually initially developed, like I said, to show how communication and marketing was related to public health. And in working with our students, what we first do is we introduce health promotion. This is the one we know the most about, and is the most global. We know a lot in terms of health promotion and using social and behavioral approaches to health education and health promotion, in terms of the people aspect. We've done a lot of work in this. The theories that we have in behavioral science and psychology has really taught us a lot. And so we use health promotion as sort of an overall framework to in this guide. Now we have another program in our department called Community-Oriented Primary Care, which is something that is located within using your primary care resources to affect behavior and health in the community. So focuses on six processes. This is for those who don't know community-oriented primary care, these are the six levels of influence and the process that is used. And this is then used within an integrating framework within people and places to identify who your community is and then what level of influence. And usually within COPC, it's within the direct local community and then also with working within primary care. Now, in terms of communication and marketing, we know that communication is basically delivering messages to our population. It's a strategic use of information. It's a production and exchange to inform, influence, motivate individual institutions and public audiences about health behavior. Marketing, there was a great talk yesterday about social marketing that if you want more information, was excellent. And one of the things that they said about marketing is It is competition. Public health is competing for the attention of the people within places. And another thing that they said was that we need to focus on the person in their place to effectively market public health. And what we know is that communication and marketing are not solo constructs, but rather overlap with one another to inform behavior and health. And we do this in health communications and marketing by using health communication strategies to influence people, and we use our theories of health promotion and health education. And the question, can we use health messages to influence people's behavior? Well, we just saw that with folic acid. We can also see it with the Back to Sleep campaign. We also use social marketing to influence social networks, to influence agents of change, to influence people. In terms of marketing, we can use policy advocacy and dissemination to target policymakers who make important decisions that affect the health of stakeholders. We can use organizational marketing to promote changes in places so that the places actually influence the health of people. We're working on that right now in public health in terms of the built environment. And then we come to maternal and child health. And this is the program that I direct. And maternal and child health is a multidisciplinary public health approach. So we are using all of the constructs from the other three programs to influence the health and well-being of maternal and child health populations. And in using the people and places framework, we can think of maternal and child health as either being the people or the overall health of the population. And what we do in the course that we have, all of this is based on actually a core course that we have for our departmental students, is to take a maternal and child health example, such as childhood obesity, and we have the students work together in groups with students from other tracks so that they can formulate what are the determinants of health and how can we develop programs to enhance health and well-being. And we sort of bring them through using this model, using the techniques from the different programs, so they can see how that would change depending on the different people, the different aggregates of people, and the different places. So in closing, what we found from our students and from our stakeholders is that this framework really does help in communicating the ecological model to our students and to our stakeholders so that they can develop those skills that prevention and community health professionals need when they are out in the community. It also provides a practice-oriented systematic representation of how these elements of people and place operate in an ecological model. We found that it's a straightforward representation, and that as educators, it really does enhance our ability to effectively engage our community, whether it be our students, whether it be the communities that we work with, in contributing to the goals of prevention and community health. And with that, I just want to say thank you, and I hope you're having a good time in DC, and our school welcomes you. Mm-hmm.